It is the 10th of December, 2019. It is the 12th of Kislev Tufshin Pei, and so we're in Halacha Day of Perek Vav, and a couple of options to speak about, but I wanted to just focus on one word that appears in the Perek. It appears at the end of Shema. In fact, if we open up Noah's Parsha here, the easiest one to find, it's the smallest one. So the parsha concludes by saying, "Vayiltavos beinecha uchsaftam al mezuzos beisecha uvisharecha." So I want to focus on the word uvisharecha. What do we learn out from that? You know, I understand mezuzos go on our doorways, but what does it mean that mezuzos go on our gateways? What then is included by that? Okay, so that pasuk shows up in the Gemara in Maseches Yuma, points it out, and says that that's to include shari chatzeros. It's to include the gates to your chatzer, the gates to your courtyards. And if you look at Rashi on that pasuk, right, also it says to include the gates to your iros and to your medinos, to your cities and to your countries. So what in the world are we talking about with regards to the gateway to your countries? Right, does the big arch in St. Louis need a little gate on a little mezuzah on the arch? What? It's the gateway to the west.
Same country.
Besides, the whole mezuzah and archway thing is the topic for another year. But so what is that? What do we learn out from that? So we assume that yes, that mezuzahs would have to go onto your entranceway to your chatzer, perhaps cities and countries as well. We'll get to that, hopefully. It depends on how much time we have, but we'll get to that a little bit later. But just simply into your courtyard. So why? Why? What is the lumdus behind putting a mezuzah onto your courtyard? Okay?
So take over your good.
What?
So you'll remember when you're going.
Yeah, yeah, okay. No, well, the same reason that you have a mezuzah anyway will be the same reason there. But what is the chiyuv? What is the nature of the obligation to put it onto your chatzer?
The fence around the Torah, the
Yeah, 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 you're all being very philosophical. It's very nice.
Right.
But in terms of the halachic understanding, what is the halachic justification? I mean, if we're putting mezuzahs onto our doorways, so is this just a totally separate mitzvah? And if you have a courtyard also, so you need to put a mezuzah on that, or perhaps it is related to the house, and that's probably
it's your property.
What?
It's your rishus.
Right. So is it because it is your rishus, and therefore it has its own distinct obligation? Or is it because it is the opening to the chatzer which leads to your house? That it's related to the fact that you have a house in that chatzer. Right? So right off the top of your head, what would be an immediate nafkamina? What would be a practical ramification between those two understandings? Let's say you have a chatzer.
No house.
And no house, right. So that would be question number one, right? What about a chutzner and no house? So you have a little garden, and your garden or a field, and your field is surrounded by a fence, and the fence has a doorway, it's a big giant wall, and the big giant wall has a nice, gorgeous doorway, right? That's how he says it. Anybody going to Hershey tonight, by the way? Trump rally in Hershey tonight.
Oh, really?
Trump and Pence. I have tickets, but I'm not going. If anybody wants them, they're yours.
Nice.
What? Hershey, Pennsylvania, yes. Come on, Noah's thinking about it. Noah's thinking about it. Okay, so anyways, so let's say would you be required to put a mezuzah on that doorway? Okay, so with regards, so that plays out in the machlokas we've shown him as to how to understand that Gemara. So one opinion is, and this is the way it's quoted more explicitly from Rabbeinu Manoach, who's in the Beis Yosef. Really, the Rambam seems to imply this as well, although the people on the other side suggest that maybe the Rambam doesn't mean it. But that is, the real reason that you're putting a mezuzah onto your gate is because your gate leads to your house. It's sort of an extension of the entrance to your house. And in fact, even if you had several gates that led to the house, so still, you would put a mezuzah on each one, but all of them are coming as an extension off of the house. Okay, so that's opinion number one. Opinion number two is, V'yesh omrim, then no, It's not just because it goes into a house, but it's because it has its own usage. If you have a chatzer, so things get done in that chatzer. And if things get done in that chatzer, it contains its own obligation mezuzah. Now it's true, mezuzahs al beisecha only demand that there be a roof on the beisecha. Yeah, that's the mezuzahs on your beisecha. But if it's the mezuzahs on your uvisharecha, on your gateway, so your gateway does not require a roof on the outside, and therefore a chatzer, a courtyard, would demand that there be a mezuzah on it, even though there is no roof on top of that door. Okay? Are we good so far? Okay? So this machloket, it would play out, I guess, if you had a field out there and you need a doorway in order to get in. The doorway consists of both doorposts as well as a lintel on top. So I'm not sure a lot of chutzers on their own have that kind of thing, although they potentially could. But this really does play out. This machlokus is very large, or rears its head, with regards to a mirpeset in Israel, or if you have a backyard that is completely enclosed to your house. Mm-hmm. So this, when I lived in Phoenix, so some of the people lived, there are like sort of these developments that that people lived in. People had single family houses, but besides single family houses, they sort of set up these houses where there's sort of row houses, I guess you would say. But the row houses entered into your own backyard, and your own backyard was completely enclosed. Mm-hmm. So that's the machlokas. So does that chatzir demand a mezuzah, right? And how is that then going to bear itself out? Are you going to put a mezuzah on the door going out into the yard? Are you going to put a mezuzah on the door when you come back into the house? Mm-hmm. Right? Everyone 100% agrees, but practically speaking, everybody agrees that doorway has a mezuzah, but the machlokas is that mezuzah go on the way out or back on the way into the house. Right? If you assume that the chatzer requires a mezuzah on its own, so it would be on the way out. But if you assume that the mezuzah only requires, that the chatzer, a courtyard, only requires a mezuzah because it is an entrance way to the house, so then that chatzer would not require a mezuzah because it's not leading into the house. What would require the mezuzah? When you walk back into the house. That is the machlokas. So what are the sides on this machlokas? So this is most famously, although it seems like the machlokas, and by the way, this carries itself out with mirpesets in Israel, right? Porches in Israel, if you live in those big apartment buildings and you have a nice large porch where you put your sukkah and you can have 15, 20 people living out there. So that you put a mezuzah on that door on the way out onto the mirpeset or on your way back in into the apartment. Right?
Everybody agrees that you have to have one?
Well, not quite. Everyone... everyone would agree. I think Lemaisa, everybody says that you should have one. Practically speaking, everyone says you should have one. One could work out a way to say that maybe you wouldn't be required one mikra din, but I think everyone agree. I think practically speaking, if you ask any posek today, they would tell you to put it there. They would just get into a fight as to which doorway you should put it on. Okay? So on the repasset, yeah. Right, so who are the two major sides? This is often quoted as a machlokas between Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish. So Chazon Ish is very strong about this. The Chazon Ish written down here? The Chazon Ish in Kuf Samach Ches, I think Dalet Hei Vav and Zayin, he has a nice little long stretch there where he discusses this issue, where he says that he holds like the first opinion. He thinks that, and I didn't find that this actually that he actually takes a side on this. Meaning, it seems like it's a machlokas rishonim. Let's start with that. It seems like which of those sides the machlokas rishonim. The Rambam and Rabbeinu Manoach seem to assume that the chatzer is only obligated because it leads to a house, while the Rush is on the other side. While the Rush holds that the chatzer would require one on its own volition, right, as its own place. So the Chazon Ish says, well, we're going to pass them like the Rambam and Rabbeinu Noach. Why? Often Ashkenazim are passing like the Rush again. So he says, oh, that's the Rov Rishonim. The majority of the Rishonim actually hold that way. That's what he assumes. And therefore, a Chatzer would not require a mezuzah. And then he adds in, there's a further reason that that we would say that a Chatzer doesn't require a mezuzah, as opposed to perhaps the time of the Gemara. It says it could be that the halacha has changed anyways. Why? Because a Chatzer, during the time of the Gemara, what happened in the Chatzer? Everything. Everything happened in the chatzer. That was where dinner was made. That's where the butter was churned. That's where all the animals hung out. That's where everybody, that's where people ate. That's where everybody went out. The chatzer, the courtyard, was like a main place where people did work and people hung out. Would you say the same thing about your porch? I mean, a porch is nice. People go out there and maybe eat every once in a while. You know, during the summer, maybe you may eat out there once in a while. But it's not like the place where things are happening. So Chalzadir says, maybe in the time of the Gemara, you can make a stronger case that you would require it, because that was a real place where people did a lot of work, and people did a lot of meat, and people spent a lot of time there. And there was a real tashmish, there was a real, there was a lot of action that was going on there. But nowadays, that's not the way that our chatzers are set up. And therefore, even that's an additional reason to suggest that we're going to paskin like what I think the Rambam says, what Rabbeinu Noach says, and what and against what the Rush says. Yeah.
The chatzer is like a common area, though, wasn't it? Multiple houses.
Could be.
So who
could be? So that's sort of the next halacha of the mezuzah on cities and countries potentially, which would it sounds like it's a communal obligation of the people that are living there to put it up. This, by the way, the same idea would come up with regards to a mezuzah on apartment buildings. That if you have an apartment, is there a mezuzah on the front door of the apartment building? So if you take a look.
The front door of the building.
The front door of the building, right? So that should, it sort of gets in the second issue of majority Jews there, but if there is a majority Jewish building, so probably there should be a mezuzah there, although we'll see that issue of majority is a little bit hard to quantify. But it's the same idea, because it leads into a chatz. I mean, one can make a case that the hallways are a chatzer, and then the apartments are everyone's individual houses. I wanted to make a claim when this is a Hanukkah issue also, because you should put a mezuzah in the front of the menorah in the front of your chatzer. That's the way it seems like the ideal way. So I remember when I was in yeshiva, I said we should light menorahs in the front of the dorms, because that opens into the chatzer, which then opens up into everyone's room. Right, so wouldn't that be the ideal place for the menorah? So I remember Rav Schachter made the same argument. Actually, Rav Schachter said, no, our chatzers today are not like what the Gemara was referring to. The Gemara was referring to a chatz, which was a common area where everybody worked. Nowadays, it's a hallway. A hallway is not where people work. To which I responded, have you ever been in a dorm recently where everybody seems to congregate out there and hang out? But he didn't seem to be convinced by that argument. So that's the issue of a... So that's the Chazon Ish's position. The Chazon Ish held that you should be going on the way back up. So if you're not going to do it on the way out into the chatzer, so then you should have one coming back into the house, right? If you're going to have a mezuzah, right, then you're back out in the chatzer, out in the courtyard. Now you're looking at the house. I'm going back into the house. A house is obligated into a mezuzah, so therefore you should require to have a mezuzah when one comes in the house. So that's what everybody assumes. Although the Chazon Ish says you should affix that mezuzah without a bracha. Why would they say without a bracha? So any time in the Hilchas Mezuzah, when you say you put a mezuzah up without a bracha, that's because there's a suffix whether there's really a chi of d'oraisa to have a mezuzah there. So what could possibly be the suffix? You're having a mezuzah going into the house. So he suggests that this is perhaps related, that's probably this means, he doesn't actually explicitly say why he says without a bracha, but I would assume he's basing it on the following. Right? If you have a closet in your house, so do you put a mezuzah on the closet? If you have a coat closet? No. No, right? What if you have a walk-in closet?
It's big enough that where you can sleep in?
So there's two. So sometimes if it's a 4x4 amos, which is 7,000 something square inches, that's my measure, so that could require a mezuzah on its own, right? Because that's a room. It's a room.
Regardless if it's just storage? If you're using it for storage?
Yes. Yeah, that would require a zoom. The question comes up, however, if you have a walk-in closet that's less than dollar, less than 4x4, right? We define a room as being 4x4. What if it's less than 4x4? So it sounds like it should be putter from mezuzah. However, there is a piskei tshuva in the bottom of Shulchan Aruch, quotes from the sefer called the Chamudei Daniel. The Chamudei Daniel says, yeah, but if there is a tashmish to the room, if you do something in that room, so it should require a mezuzah because you're doing something there. It's not 4x4. No, 4x4 defines it as having a tashmish regardless of what happens in there. But if it's less than 4x4, says the Chamudei Daniel, it should require a mezuzah if you're using it for a purpose. So when I go to people's houses, so that's most people have like one or two classes closets like this. That's not that big, but it's a little big. How do you? So what I tell people is, do you go and do stuff in there? Right? Do you go in there? Like, do you change there sometimes, or like if in the morning, if one spouse gets up before the other and wants to get dressed, turn the light on, like, do you use that space or do you not use that space? So if you use that space, I say that it's probably that putting it there would be the chumrah of the Chamudei Daniel. Okay. The others, but then there's the flip side of that. Then there's the Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, no, I don't know why you would put a mezuzah going into that closet. It's not 4x4. But what do? You walk into the closet. What do you do after you walk into the closet? Close. You do whatever you do, and then you walk out of the closet. What are you doing when you're walking out of the closet? You're walking from a place where there is no obligation into a place where there is an obligation. So what does the Rabbi Kiva Eger say? He says, therefore, you should have a mezuzah on the right side, walking from the closet into the room. That's the chumrah of the Rabbi Kiva Eger. It seems like the Chazon Ish seemed to assume like that. Rabbi Shachter, I believe, paskins like this, Rabbi Kiva Eger, mi'ikar adin. That's why my friend Tani Kohn says he has mezuzahs in some strange places. It's very odd, right? You walk by a closet and you see a mezuzah coming, like, on the door. What?
On the left side.
Right, it's on the left side. It's an odd thing. What's, by the way, a big kash? There's a big kash on Rabbi Kiva Eger. What's a big kash? A big question on Rabbi Kiva Eger. Think about it. No. No, what about bathrooms? Think about bathrooms. According to Rabbi Kiva Eger, you should have a mezuzah coming out of the bathroom. Right?
Yep.
You're walking from a place that is not obligated mezuzah to a place that is obligated mezuzah. And no, even the Rabbi Kiva Eger nicks aren't going to hold like that. So that's a question on Rabbi Kiva Eger. So perhaps that's what the Chazon Ish was alluding to here. I think he paskins like the Rabbi Kiva Eger, but he's not so sure. You know, it's a... So the Sefer Chova Sadar, this is sort of like the...
Authoritative book.
You've heard of it, or you're just saying? Right. This was put together in about 30, 40 years ago, and it's like even it's like a small, tiny book as opposed to this really big, fat book, right? It like has everything. And the person that I started with when I started the business, he paskened everything by the Chovas Adar and actually visited with him a bunch of times. And that way you have it in print, and that's where I generally I don't. Paskin 100% like him, but I often pass like him. So he paskins, I believe, he paskins like the Chamudei Daniel against Rabbi Kiva Eger that you would have it going into the closet, and as a chumrah, it's a stringency, so that's why I tell people. I said, you know.
If it's any walk-in closet that's greater than 4x4?
No, it's greater than 4x4, that would require a mezuzah mi'ikar adin, because that's a room. Right? He says, if it's less than 4x4, I would say it's a chumrah. So some people are like, no, I want everything, you know, I get it said, whatever. And some people are like, oh yeah.
Closets. 4x4.
4x4 amos.
Which is
7,000, I have the count on my phone. 7,500 inches, square inches. Yeah, something like that.
5.83.
Right, if you're only reaching in, so then you're not going in. That's the way I assume.
No, 583 square feet.
Oh, 583 square feet. So you go by the square feet.
Not
by
square, no.
6 by 6 is 36 square feet.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
You said square inches.
So right, so my square inches, I cheshbon it out, you know, once, and it's on my, it's about 7,360 square inches or so. That's the way I measure. By the way, it's a bit of a question whether you need 4x4 or is even 2x6, right? So that's another machlokas. That's another machlokas. Okay. So and by the way, I would also hedge on, you know, I would distinguish between houses that are owned and like apartments that are rented. I mean, houses that are owned, there's a more bigger obligation than if you're just renting a place. So that's also part of the cheshbon. Okay, so that's the Chazon Ish side. Rav Moshe's side is the opposite. Rav Moshe says no. A chatzer requires a mezuzah stands on its own. It's an obligation. It's required. And therefore, if you have a porch that is more than 4x4 amos, it requires a mezuzah. I have heard that Rav Moshe had such a mezuzah in his apartment. That his apartment had a porch, and he had the mezuzah going out onto the porch.
He had a balcony.
Okay, I'm not sure what the difference is. A balcony or a porch? Okay.
On the ground.
Right. Okay, so he, so Rosh Paskin that way. Rosh Shechter does not Paskin this way. Rosh Shechter Paskin is like the Chazon Ish. But I have a porch like this. It actually happens to be where our sukkah is, and we have a mezuzah going out onto the porch, which in effect means that on sukkahs we have a mezuzah going into our sukkah, which is a interesting, nice caveat, which explains the shir that I gave in Beth HaMedrash a couple of years ago, entitled "Why does your sukkah not have a mezuzah while mine does?"
Okay. It's on the sukkah, right?
Well, no, it's on the doorway, but the sukkah goes right against the doorway, right, so it is. Yeah. All right. So that's the machlokas. Rav Moshe Chazon. Yeah, I think the minhag in America is more to pass on like Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe holds like more Rishonim hold like him also, meaning he reads the Rambam as passing like him as against the Chazon Ish, and that seems to be the breakdown. In America we pass him like the Rav Moshe, in Israel we pass him like the Chazon Ish. However, I saw here in this Sefer HaMezuzah, he says that in the Minhag Yerushalayim is the Paskin, not like Rav Moshe, but like that opinion, that it would go out onto the porch. Again, it's very nice he says that. I don't know what people do though. I mean, you got to look around. If you walk down Sanhedrin, look up at all the mirpesets, you can see where people are putting their mezuzahs to figure out what the minhag is. All right, you could do when you're in Israel, you could drive around. You can.
I'm not sure my son-in-law has a mezuzah.
Well, no.
I'd be really surprised because he's the one that instigated putting mezuzahs on the door of the building. He went around and collected money and whatever. He put up the elevator.
I'll ask him if he needs to buy one. I know a good sofer.
All right. You can.
who gets stuff to Beitar? Yeah. All right. So that is issue number one. We have a few more minutes. The issue of what about cities and what about countries and what about cities? So the Shulchan Aruch, Reish Pei Vav, Sif Aleph, says Elu Mekomos Shechayvim Mezuzah. This is actually not quite the opening to Hilchos Mezuzah, but the second siman in Hilchos Mezuzah. Elu Mekomos Shechayvim Mezuzah Echad Shari Batim V'Shari Chatzerus Medinos V'Airos. And the opening to chatzers, to medinos, to countries, and to cities, and to a barn, v'lulun v'osos yayim v'shemen, and also your storehouses, which include sheds and garages. Now, people have these sheds. The minhag seems to not be on these sheds. I'm not really sure why. I've been meaning to do a little bit of research on this. People have these big sheds in their backyard that stand on their own, like these metal things. It should require a mezuzah. There are some that say that that's only if it serves the house, meaning if it's only
a garage.
So a garage does. Certainly a garage that is a connected garage certainly does. In effect, that's really your front door, meaning that's the way you get into your house more than any other doorway often. So that should. If it's a standalone garage, it's a little bit more of a question. If it's one that's commonly used, it should have a mezuzah for sure. If it's a garage that is all the way in the back and you never go there, so there's a bit of a machlokas about that, meaning how often does a room have to be used in order for it to require a mezuzah? Like, for example, I've seen in Bala here a bunch of times, people have these storm doors, like these steps that go down to the basement and like these, like the triangular things that are in the back. What?
The slanted.
Yeah, right. So the slanted thing is not, but usually at the bottom of that there's a doorway. So does that require a mezuzah or not? So like I asked, did you ever use this door? Never. So if they never use it, so I don't think there's a requirement for a mezuzah. I mean, right? If they say to me, yeah, I use it twice a year to bring my sukkah out into the backyard and to bring my sukkah back in from the backyard. So that's a little bit of a question. How often does a door need to be used? Actually, this halacha is what gives me pause. People have these basements that they never go to, and like there's a closet deep in the basement someplace. Does that really require a mezuzah? It's a little questionable, and perhaps based on this idea, as we're going to get to. But the Ramat says, v'daf of kishabes hashutfin, and he says also, in a base hashutfin, if it's a base that has partners, meaning if a couple of people own a house together, so they're required to have a mezuzah together. However, v'daf, says the Ramah, v'daf of kishabes hashutfin Yisrael, only if the partners are Jewish. Aval beis shal Yisrael v'goy, if it's owned by a Jew and a guy, pater mi mezuzah. It's exempt from a mezuzah. Right, so this question, by the way, like in colleges, Jews have roommates and stuff. So does their door require a mezuzah? So it sounds like right off the bat, no. Right, if it's shared by a Jew, especially if it's a Jew and two non-Jews, it sounds like it wouldn't be chayv and mezuzah on it. But why not? So the Taz on the side of the Shulchan Aruch says, the Shutfin Marvinan, it's included by Shutfin, because it says, Yerbu Yemeichem, right? That's what the Pasuk says, in order to lengthen your days, plural. So it means that plural people. Uvo Ovei Kochavim Ein Lo Markein. by non-Jews, we don't apply that. I mean, to include them in Leman Yerbu Yemechem, in order to lengthen your days, doesn't make sense, and therefore they would be excluded, which sounds almost like there's a psul. Sounds almost like you can't have one if there are non-Jews that are living with you. I wouldn't spread this pshat too far. But that seems to be what the Taz is saying. The Shach, however, says, this is why, Kimet Shemixas Hu Shal Ovi Kulchavim. The Gamishim Sakana, and there is, because some of them are Ovi Kulchavim. Which sounds like what? It sounds like majority, minority? It sounds like minority. It says, even if some are Ovi Kulchavim, we would not be required. It says, V'gamishim Sakana, there's a danger. V'kdei shalo yomar Ovi Kulchavim, she Yisrael osem Maisek Shafim. So that the non-Jews don't say that the Jews are doing Maisek Shafim. What are Maisek Shafim? Witchcraft, black magic, right? We don't want them saying these things about us. So therefore, maybe we're not going to put one up if they're part of the group. And so too, the gates to chatzers and to cities are also going to be exempt because of this danger, as is mentioned in the Gemara in Maseches Yuma. So we didn't do the Gemara in Maseches Yuma.
Even Jewish cities?
So hold on a second. So we didn't say the Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma says, they asked about in the city of Mechuzah, why the Rabbanim did not put up a mezuzah there. And they said because, he says, one halacha, and then it's for another time. But then the answer that it settles on is, El Amar Abai, Mishum Sakan, because of a danger. This Sanya, it says, mezuzahs yachin ibdekas pamim b'shavu, it should be twice, it's checked. And Rabbi Yehuda says that it once happened with Artivan Echad, with a certain Artivan, which we're not sure what that is, but Shahayabodik Mezuzos Beshukha Elyon Shal Tzipur, who was once checking Mezuzos and Tzipuri, Umatsu Kastor Echad, and somebody found him, V'nachlam Emenu Elav Zuz, and find him 1,000 Zuz. Why did he find him 1,000 Zuz? Was he concerned that he was doing some kind of witchcraft. So that was the fine against witchcraft. So what do we see? So what do we see here? If there is some kind of danger to you, or perhaps danger to the mezuzah itself, we're not going to put up a mezuzah. So I'm a little concerned. Like people, you know, to put a mezuzah deep into a basement someplace where nobody goes to see, and then you show up, 5-10 years later, and you know, hey, what happened to that mezuzah? So that's not a good idea to have mezuzahs floating around that we don't know what happened to them. I mean, this someone recently called me, says, we did a little bit of construction. I have no idea what happened to the mezuzah, so I need another one. Okay, but like that's not a good thing. Like, it's a responsibility also to have these mezuzahs. So to go and be overly makbid on this, there is a bit of a there is a bit of a risk as well. It's not just what's the big deal? Spend an extra $70 and put another mezuzah or whatever they cost. So no, there is a bit of a risk as well that we're responsible. Dvarim shebikdusha, they are items of sanctity, and therefore we should not lose them. But I did notice we normally the way this is normally understood, normally thought about is it depends on the majority of the people in the area, right? What depends if an apartment building should have a mezuzah? Depends if it's majority Jewish. Or what if a city should have a mezuzah? Depends if it's majority Jewish or not. That's the way it's normally quoted. But the truth is, I'm not sure. Other than Rashi on this Gemara that said, because Mechuzah was Rov Yisrael, and people quote it as the Shach and Taz, it doesn't seem to be what the Shach and Taz say. They seem to be saying that either according to the Taz that a non-Jew would be a Petur, would be an exemption, and the Shach is that unless it's majority Jewish, or that if they're non-Jews, there's a danger involved. So why is that Talui on whether it's majority Jewish or not majority Jewish? It sounds like it's a question of the Metzius, right? If you put a mezuzah up on the door, is something going to happen to it or is something not going to happen to it? Is it going to be dangerous or is it not going to be dangerous? And that, in fact, is a point that's made by Rabbi Kiva Eger in a tshuva and the Or Sameach in one of his positions, which is quoted in the Milum in the back of the Sefer Mezuzah. But I think we're out of time now, so keep your eye on a future Jewish Link article, perhaps, to resolve some of these issues. Yeah,
what? The gates entering Jerusalem.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you look at the gates, a lot of them, they do. I don't know if in the Arab quarter they do. I don't know. And I don't know if the old city is majority Jewish either. I don't know if you add it up. I'm not sure. But it's unclear to me if that's really the defining factor. I mean, that's the way people talk about it. But I'm not sure if that's really the defining factor. And he suggests in the back here that it might not be. It might be based on something else. But perhaps a guideline that we use is whether it's majority Jewish or not.
Okay? City's not war. Ready for the mezuzah.
Right, so you wouldn't. Right, it's only gates of the city. If that's the, I didn't talk about this. If that's the main way of getting in, that's what it says. So the example of Rashi gives is that we have cities. And he describes a place You have like a, it's a huge plain or whatever, and the only way in is through these gates. Now there are mountains and fields and stuff which you could, but no one goes that way. Everyone goes in through the gate. So therefore, that should be the way that there should be a mezuzah there. So technically, like New York City, so one can make a case that if New York City was majority Jewish, you should put a mezuzah on the George Washington Bridge, right? Which has ramifications in other areas of halacha also, because it has to do with Tumas Kohanim and things like that. We'll save that for another time. For that, it's for another halacha day.
Different topic. Teaser
for another thing, yeah. But also, by the way, it suggests seaports or airports, meaning even if it's in the middle of the city, but the main way into that city is through the airport. So perhaps the doorway into the airport, whatever that means, should have a mezuzah on it. But again, it's only if it's a Jewish place. All right, we'll stop here.